the development, and then in 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, joined once again by Buffalo Spree editor Elizabeth Licata.
Hi, Mark.
The magazine's December issue highlights the incredible development that has taken place in Buffalo over the past 15 years. Now, having lived through it, it's difficult to appreciate all that has really happened and continues to happen.
But because I do what I do, I'm always reminded, because we've been covering this stuff ever since I came. And actually, before, Spree always covered history and architecture. Architecture was big. And so, and I just added a lot more about development to that mix, and about, and of course, the coincidence that adaptive reuse of historic structures has grown so much. So that just goes right along with Spree's long tradition of covering the built environment as much as we can.
Yeah, and it seems to be different than it used to be. I mean, we saw tremendous development in the 1960s, the M&T Bank building, Main Place Tower. But Main Place Tower came at the expense of the beautiful Erie County Savings Building. Today, we're saving our buildings.
Yes. Back then, it was all about tear things down and put up something new. And people really believed in that. They did. But now we're realizing we have this a treasure here, and we still do have. We didn't tear down as much as other cities did, because we were not as prosperous as other cities. So the kind of economic depression that happened in Buffalo throughout the late 20th century was also kind of helped us save a lot of our buildings. Not all of them, for sure. And but the two blocks that really stand out for me are the 800 block of Main Street, which is still in the process of all the buildings being adaptively reused. And there were so many proposals to demolish about half those buildings. I myself attended maybe 4 or 5 preservation board meetings to advocate, when I was with the Allentown Association, against the demolition. I remember having to call someone and find out how you got a court order to stop a demolition when I was riding down the street in the morning and saw the inspector standing in front of 848 Main, and he told me, this is coming down today. And so when you look at that block now, which is beautiful and will be even more beautiful when they finish a couple more that they've got to go, and then the other block is the 100 block of Genesee, which was totally dilapidated for decades. And no one really thought, I mean, except for Eddie Brady's, no one ever thought that those buildings would be reused, that they would be fixed up, that they would be beautiful like they are now. We ran, I think, over the years that I was at Spree, we sort of followed all that, and we've run like 3 or 4 articles on both those blocks. So I really have watched it closely.
And that was done quietly, because it was dilapidated, and then all of a sudden you look up and it's developed.
Well, it took a grant, actually. The Wendt Foundation stepped in and helped. And so, and then, of course, you had Doug Swift's company came in and redeveloped it. So that was a little special circumstance. And then the other part of this, these areas of the city that didn't have anything. They were, you know, you would have no reason to go there, to the hydraulics area, which a lot of people call Larkinville. Why would you even go there? 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Is that the most significant development in a way? Because at the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus, we already had Buffalo General, Roswell
right.
Park, and Hauptmann Woodward. We knew we were going to get the waterfront right eventually. But Larkinville, if Howard Zemsky doesn't have that vision,
he starts the ball rolling.
Is anything there now, you know?
No, I don't think so. He really started it. But now other developers have stepped in. You have Savarino's beautiful 500 Seneca building, and there's going to be 2 other structures that are going to be redeveloped for offices and housing and retail. There's going to be 500 units, people living there. So it's not just going to be a destination where you go on Tuesday night to, you know, go visit the food trucks. It's a neighborhood. It's going to be a neighborhood, an interesting neighborhood.
Canal Side is an unqualified success. It's now a year-round attraction, concerts and so much more in the summer, ice skating in the winter. What happens there next?
There has to be more structures built. I mean, it is successful. I've walked down there, as I'm sure you have, gone down there and enjoyed strolling along and maybe kayaking. But, you know, there's not even a public restroom there. I mean, they're doing more, though. I think now with the skating, there is, I think the shelter probably has that. But still, it's all very activity-based. So unless there is something to do, a concert, skating, kayaking, but there are no sort of retail, you know, the Harbor Center now has some retail. So it's coming along slowly, but I know a lot of people would like to see more.
And of course, it has to happen on the north side of the old Odd complex, the old Odd property, because that needs to be developed.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So there more needs to happen there, and I feel it will. I think that our patience has been rewarded in Buffalo. Mm-hmm.
So where does development go from here? What still needs to be done? I mean, right now I would suggest the east side.
Absolutely. And I think you guys just had a report about a big senior complex that's going up there. But also, Chris Hawley was one of my informal panel that I used to get interview about all this stuff, because I always have to go to people who are more knowledgeable than I am, of course. And he says along the Beltway, which is actually where my Buffalo Spree is located, along the train route, there is many large buildings, including the Wonder Bread building, that could be developed, much like other historic structures, other former industrial structures are being developed throughout the city. And I think if it can happen in the hydraulics, it can happen on the east side.
Also in the December issue, you write about the arts as usual, and specifically an exhibit of photography at the SEPA Gallery. And tell us about that.
It's just beautiful. And unfortunately, I mean, our pictures are nice in the magazine, but you must go to it because some of these snowflake ones are blown up quite large, and some of the other ones too. And these are two very talented gentlemen, Doug Levere and Alan Friedman. Alan is known for being the owner of Great Arrow Graphics. And, of course, Doug is a wonderful award-winning photographer who worked in New York for a long time and now works for University at Buffalo. And they're doing kind of opposite but connected things. It's just so much fun. Is that Alan, of course, uses his telescope. He's an avid astronomer. And to take pictures of the sun, and also mainly pictures of the sun in this exhibition. And Doug uses a microscope attachment to his camera to take beautiful pictures of snowflakes.
And the snowflakes almost look computer-generated. It's hard to believe. This is nature.
I when I saw the show and Doug was there, I said, there's no way that this is... It looked like a geometric shape completely. And I couldn't believe it was actually a snowflake. It's a great show and well worth seeing.
And the Birchfield Penny has something called Art and Craft Media.
Yes, and that it used to be called, I think, the Craft. You know, different, but Art and Craft Media is a very precise way of saying don't pigeonhole this work as craft, as ceramics or bowls that you would use to eat out of or so on. This is art, too. It's just using media like wood and pottery and so on, fiber, that are associated with crafts. And it's a fantastic show. It's very sculptural, of course. These are all, for the most part, three-dimensional objects. It takes up a lot of the museum's very large and difficult-to-install East Gallery. Wonderful show.
Well, Elizabeth, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
You have a Merry Christmas, too.
Thank you. Yeah, and we'll see you again. We'll talk again early in 2016.
Can't wait. Thanks, Mark.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.